A very good morning. It's the election day. As a Kwanyama, we would say erection day. It's the election days. Good morning. And David, now you are off. You must go and vote. Okay. You must go and vote now. Then Mr. David, you must go and vote. So good morning, Namibia. Are you up and are you ready to go and vote? It's very disappointing though. I must say, I drove from Mongwediva to here to Ondangwa, and I have seen so far about, how many? About five polling stations. And, there are quite few people. There are less than 10. There are really, really, really quite few lines. And maybe if you are, I don't know what time we're supposed to open, from 7? Was it open from 7 o'clock? Yeah, but there are quite few people at this point in time. And if you are in the north, and especially in these areas where I actually passed through coming to work here, there are not many people. You must just get up and run and go and vote so that you do that early, in the morning. So before everybody, comes. So it was quite disappointing. I thought by now I was hoping that, people would come much more, many more people in the morning. And then maybe as the time goes, then that changes. As the sun comes up a little bit, maybe people will slowly then start to come. All right. So, but it's quite a few lines. Less than, it's really in all the polling station is less than about 10 people or so. It's quite a few number of people. So make sure that you get up and go and vote. So exercise your democratic right, your civic right. So these are quite significant. These are very quite significant. They directly, we have to understand. Yesterday I was talking to Bishop Katenda, Bishop Lucas Katenda, and he talked about how directly this influences our local governance and service deliveries and development at the grassroots level. So we are voting for service delivery. We are voting for the development at a local level. That's what we're doing now. When you're not doing that, you're not actually participating in development at the grassroots, at your town, in your region. So they determine who, and also we also determining who the representative in our region, the council and local authority would be. Who will actually make decision that would affect, our community needs, especially when it comes to housing, when it comes to social services. So, yeah, and it is through these structures, okay? It's through this structure of governance functions like decentralized and bringing actually governance closer to the people and allowing communities actually to have a say in our own priorities. All right. So yeah, go out there, wake up, go out there and definitely exercise your right, your vote, your democratic right, to vote. So this is happening in the 14 regions and also in 121 constituency. So we will be, updating you what is going as the days goes on. We will be on the ground and talking to people on the ground. So make sure that you tune in, you stay tuned in on Eagle FM because we keep you update of what is going on. Okay. All right. So good morning and welcome. Welcome to Eagle FM. And as usual, welcome. And it's a Wednesday morning. And yeah, my name is Mike Oshoveli. And of course, this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what's really going on in business, economic, politics, like elections, And every day week, every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers, numbers that are making headlines. And we keep it clear and always curious. So asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect of those of Eagle FM, and we are here to unpack what others are saying and spark meaningful conversation so that you can also take part in this bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get into the heart of the stories. So good morning, and if you're just joining us, today is the 26th, it's the election day, as the 26th of the 11th month, and the year is 2025, which is also coming towards the end. You know, slowly by slowly, it's coming towards the end. This is the last week of November. So now, on this day in Africa, we start off with on this day in Africa. Let's take a look at some of the major events that happened on November 26th throughout African history. We start in Sierra Leone, where on this day in 2023, not long time ago, the capital city, Freetown, was shaken by a coordinated and violent attack. The gunmen targeted the military barracks, armory, and even a maximum security prison. So in the chaos, nearly all of the 1,890 inmates were actually released. So in response, the government declared a nationwide curfew and deployed security forces. Now, President Julius Maada Bio late spoke out, calling the incident clearly and unambiguously an attempted coup. So in days that followed, a dozen of soldiers and civilians were arrested. Even a former president, Ernest Bai Koroma, was charged with treason. So we move now to Cairo, where on November 26, 1964, angered over U.S. involvement in a rescue mission during the Congo Simba rebellion led to the violence protest. Now, a mob set a fire on the United States Information Agency library. The blaze destroyed everything inside, 24,000 books, all the equipment, and all the furniture, leaving the building actually in a ruin. That happened in Cairo. And still in Egypt, going further back, we remember a landmark moment in archaeology. On this day in 1922, British archaeologist Howard Carter broke the seal to the tomb of Pharaoh Tutankhamun in Egypt's Valley of the Kings. So it became one of the most, this one became one of the most famous archaeological discovery of all time. And it opened a window into the world of ancient Egypt that continues to fascinate us today. All right. And this is not really a political event, but a moment from the world of culture, maybe. On November 26, 1974, a South African model, Annalyn Creel, was crowned Miss World after the original winner stepped down. Now, though, as I said, this is not a political milestone, it was a moment, really, it was a moment in history that placed South Africa firmly in the global spotlight. So yeah, that's a roundup for 26 November on this day in Africa. So, and if you're just joining us, hopefully you are ready to go and vote. If not, take that card and just don't, you don't need to shower, just wash your face, and that's it, and start moving. Now, on a Wednesday, let's have, what is our thought for the day today? So if you take too long to choose, so because it's election, so if you take too long to choose, you will end up with the leftovers. Eh? If you take too long to choose, you will end up with a leftovers. Now, this is an American proverb, actually. This proverb means that indecision or hesitation in making a choice can result in missing out on the best options. So if you take too long to decide, others may make their choices first, leaving you now with what is left, which often is not as good or desirable. Now, think about business, in business or entrepreneurship. You know, if you wait too long to launch a new idea, maybe a competitor may move first and claim the market, so leaving you now with only a marginal opportunities. So, or if it's civic, like we're voting today, political context, or in a political context. So in election or public policy debate, for example, you know, delays in decision-making or engagement can lead to worse, can lead to some worse outcomes or limited choices later. So it's a reminder that sometimes it's important to act quickly or decisively when an opportunity arises, or a risk, or risk losing it altogether. So if you don't act quickly. So if you are, you know, if you take too long to choose, you will end up with the leftovers. So hopefully the decision you make today will definitely be quick and decisive when the opportunity arises.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
Yes, welcome. Good morning. It's election day, and hopefully you're ready to go and vote. All right. So hopefully you're ready, and make sure that you take that voting card and go and vote. And I said, I was disappointed this morning when I came because line are quite short, not more than 10 people that are there. I was hoping that people this morning, they will be, you know, really, really flocking, because this is the most important. This is the most important election. This is the most important election, my dear people. So this is where you're voting for, you know, local governance. This is what you were voting for, service delivery. You're voting for development at your community. All right. So make sure that you go and exercise that democratic right. All right. So, all right. And stay tuned. Stay locked to Eagle FM, so that, you know, because throughout the day, we will keep you up to date. We'll keep you up to date with what is going on the field. We will be having, and especially during the day, like from around 2-1 o'clock there. So we will be starting going on the ground, or maybe around 11 and 12, you know, but you never know. So, all right. But we will be going around. We will be on the ground, especially in Windhoek and here in Ondango as well, and be able to update you with what is going on. So, but first of all, first thing first, take your card and go and vote. All right. So what do you expect? What can you expect actually on the show this morning? So our e-newspaper, The Village, is out. Today is Wednesday, so it's out. Hopefully you get your copy. If you haven't, subscribe. All what you need to do is just send your a WhatsApp message to you know, to WhatsApp message with your name and email address and email account. So to 081-241-44. That's just where you send. It's simple as that. Simple as that. And say subscribe. So that's all what you need to do. And you will be subscribed. And every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you'll be receiving, you know, the villager right in your hands, right in the palm of your hand, on your phone, on your tablets, on whatever, on your computer. So make sure that you do that. And this is where I was talking, what are we going to do? What we talk, the reason why I go there is because the first story that we're going to look at is actually coming from there. So Windhoek Road maintenance, the Windhoek Road maintenance backlog it's going to cost about, over 2.7 billion, you know. So Windhoek need 2.7 billion actually to be able to fix the road, you know, to be able to fix the road in Windhoek. So we're going to look at that. That's a very interesting story. Make sure that you stay tuned. And we also, another one that we're going to look at is also that if you comply with minimum wages, you will be able to get tenders. That's a new directive that we're going to be able to look at. So comply with minimum wage to get tenders. So we're going to go deeper into that and understand the new policy that will come in effect soon. So, and if we have time, we're going to also look at the government overdraft with the Bank of Namibia widening significantly. And of course, your participation will also be part of the show. So, all right, you could be standing at the, at the polling stations. You know, make sure that still you're listening. And this is the best thing. So if you have the app, if you have the Eagle FM app, you could be standing at the polling station and you will still be listening to us because you have your Eagle FM app right on your phone and you can still listening to your favorite program. Unpacking the Day and other programs that's going to come your way this morning. Make sure you download that app so that you're not missing anything at all. So wherever you are and whatever you do, so you are with us. So good morning and welcome. When you come back, we're getting into our first story, our first item on the show.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, good morning and good morning, Windhoek. I'm greeting you, Windhoek. Specifically, I'm greeting you, Windhoek, because we're going to Windhoekers. I'm greeting the Windhoekers because we are going to talk about you. Today, we're tuning our attention to something that, well, it impacts everybody because potholes are everywhere. And so we're talking about the road maintenance in the city of Windhoek. That's the headline. That's the front page of our story in the Villager this morning. Yes, those potholes you dodge every day on your way to work or schools or shop. Yes, that's what we're talking about. Now, the city of Windhoek has revealed that the total backlog, The total backlog in the road maintenance is now estimated to be over 2.7 billion. Okay? 2.7 billion. That's billion with a B. Okay? A billion with a B. And I'm just thinking, with the rain season just around the corner, and this problem is expected to get worse before it even gets better. It's really, excuse me. All right, sorry. Yeah, so, yeah, the rain is just around the corner. It started raining already, maybe not as much as it should have. Oh, my goodness. So not as much as should. Sorry for that. So the road maintenance is now estimated to be the total backlog in the road maintenance is now estimated to be over 2.7 billion. And I was saying, you know, we're looking at already, you know, the rain season is already almost here. It's around the corner, and I think this problem is expected to get even worse. You know, sooner or later, it's not 2.7 anymore. So, now, what is going on here? What is going on here? And why are our roads in such a dire state? And it's not only in Windhoek. Okay, by the way, it's not only issue in Windhoek, but the story is about Windhoek. It's everywhere. It's in our town, in every town. And so what is going on and why our roads are in such a dire state and what does this mean? What does it mean for you as a driver, as a pedestrian, as a taxpayer? Well, what does it mean really? So let's get into it. This is a story, as I said, it's in today's edition of the Villager, and it's a story by Nino Memavali Hangala. So make sure that you subscribe, as I said, subscribe to get story like this to read for yourself. And if you subscribe, go to the story, read the story with more details. We're looking at different aspect in unpacking the day. So first, let's start with some numbers. You know, I told you I love numbers. Okay. I love numbers, even if I wasn't good at math. Yeah. So the Windhoek, the capital city, has an aging road. This is not what I'm saying. This is what they're saying themselves. So the Windhoek has an aging road network of over 883 kilometers of paved street. Okay. Now, many of these roads have long surpassed their original lifespan. They have long surpassed their original lifespan. Everything has a lifespan. Okay? And what does that mean for you as a road user? What does it mean for you as a road user? So we have already a Windhoeker who is calling? I haven't even started and Windhoekers are calling already. Okay. So someone actually put up the phone. All right. So I'm asking, what does this mean for you as a road user? Well, road and street are like shoes. Okay. The road and street are like shoes. So they worn out over time. So like shoes, they worn out. So the more traffic, the harsher the climate and the less maintenance they get. If they don't get maintenance, so the quicker they actually deteriorate. So that's what happened. So combine all those, more traffic, harsher, hot sun in Namibia, climate. So, and the less maintenance, as we see here now, as the less maintenance that they get, so the quicker actually they deteriorate. So now the city of Windhoek, this is their own report. You know, this city of Windhoek's own report now paints a troubling picture. And this is coming from themselves. It has been revealed that 16% of the road surfacing and 18% of the road structures are in poor to very poor condition. In poor to very poor condition. And that means almost a fifth of the road in our capital are in serious trouble. Are really in serious trouble. So now the report also warns that if the condition is rated, so if the condition is rated as fair, it means half of our road are heading for unacceptable state. So when the state say, well, the road, the condition is fair, it means actually half of our roads are heading for an unacceptable state. So in their report. So, and here's the big one. Now, the maintenance backlog. So the maintenance backlog over 2.7 billion. It's over 2.7. That is the money needed now to fix what is broken and to get the road back in working order. So you need that 2.7 billion. That's quite a hell of money. It's even, I think it's even bigger than their operation budget. For years. No, seriously, 2.7 billion. It's been even bigger than their operation budget for the municipality of Windhoek. So now, all right. So what is causing all of this? What is causing all of this? Why are we in this mess in the first place? Now, according to the report, there's a mix of factors at play. So there are so many things that are at play. So first off, poor drainage. Okay? So the poor drainage. What is wrong with me? So poor drainage. So Windhoek roads were not built with the best drainage system. It's not me saying that. Okay? It's not me making assumption. It's them saying in their report that the Windhoek road were not built with the best drainage systems. So when the rain hits, water pools on the road surface and causing cracks and potholes. We'll continue this from the after.
Great news. Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. Something is not right in the studio because my nose is getting blocked now. I don't know why. So now, and the story that we're covering is quite fitting. You're about to go and vote, you know. What is behind the pothole crisis? So you're going to vote for service delivery? Okay. This is a physical, you know, physical, something that is a physical out there. You can see whether, you know, which is actually a very good example of service delivery. So you have your judgment right out there, whether this is, do you want change now? Okay. Do you want to change? Do you want change? So, do you want better? So, this is exactly the story that we are engaging is exactly, you know, why you should go and vote. Now, we're talking what behind the pothole crisis. So, as I said earlier on, that what is that causing all this? Why are we in this mess? And it's not only Windhoek. So, we're specifically looking at the story about Windhoek, but it's not only Windhoek. So, and the report says that there's a mix of factor. We're looking at, first of all, we mentioned that the report mentioned that poor drainage. So Windhoek roads were not actually built with the best drainage system. And when the rain hits and when the rain comes, the water make a pool on the road surface and causing cracks and potholes. So then there is the issue of aging pavement. If you have ever lived in Windhoek for a few years, you have probably noticed that some roads seem to age faster than others. So, and that because of the higher traffic volume, you know, especially on the main roads, combined with Namibian climate cycles, as we have seen, and the scorched sun, and Namibian scorched sun, followed by rain, which weaken the road structures over time. So there are those other factors that actually contribute to this problem. So, but here's where things actually get a little bit concerning, especially maintenance. You know, maintenance, we are not talking about fixing road every now and then. We are talking about consistent, proactive repair. Now, of course, without this, small cracks grow into bigger holes. And the circle of damage get worse. The circle of damage that we're talking about, it get worse. So unfortunately, Windhoek maintenance, the Windhoek maintenance effort have often been too, but the way they actually, they approach this is actually too much reactive. It's being reactive, waiting until the damage is severe enough to fix. And this is what, it's what happening everywhere. We don't have what is called, what is that? Preventive maintenance. Yeah, there's what preventive maintenance. We don't have something like preventive maintenance system. So we wait until, so we kind of have the reactive. We are more reactive than actually preventive. So we wait until the damage is severe enough now to fix. Eh? So that's what we do. Everywhere you go, we don't have kind of, okay, let's make sure that we what is that? You fill up those things before, you know, it's when they cracking, when they become so severe, it's when now we started actually doing that. It's like we don't, yes, sir, preventive. We don't see that there's a danger of this disease. There's danger of this outbreak of this disease. Let's already educate people. Let's already make sure that people knows your kind of preventive measures. We don't do that. I mean, I'm thinking now in terms of a maintenance. So what we do, we wait until, well, the damage is becoming more severe that we now can't avoid it. That's how we start fixing. So now what is the action plan? What are we doing? What is Windhoek doing? So what is being done now to fix this mess? Now, the city of Windhoek has approved an action plan actually to fast track the pothole repair before the rain season. And I tell you that this meeting was actually on Monday, 24th. So it went now the meeting to approve an action plan to fast track pothole repair before the rain season actually. It's a good step, but I think it's too late. It's a bit too late. And is it enough? So now to tackle the backlog, the city is relying on two main strategies. Okay. First is its own internal teams. And second, emergency procurement of contractors. So the two contractors, Gecko 58 Investment Group. This is now for the eastern suburb. And then you have West Trading CC for the western suburb, you know. So now these two contractors were reappointed to help repair now the potholes. So, but here's the issue. Here is an issue. Now, the city admit that delay in procuring material are slowing down progress. And to be honest, and you probably know this in your own town. So how many times we have heard about delays and procurement issues? And it's not, and this is not just about maintenance now. We don't just talk about maintenance, road maintenance, but in any other service provision. Eh? These are familiar frustration. This is familiar. This is what we used to. And this is why you should go and vote. This is why you should go and vote. Hopefully, that would bring some changes. This is what we're talking about. Service delivery. Now, so the cost for repairs, it's already underway. The cost for repairs are already underway. Over 28 million, over 28 million Namibian dollar for around 23,000 potholes. Repair between May and October 2025, but with over 36,000 potholes already fixed since February 2025, and we can only imagine how fast the number is actually growing. Can you imagine how many potholes you have? 36,000 potholes in a city like Windhoek. That's got a lot. That's quite a lot of potholes. Seriously. But here's something interesting in the story, in the article. Here's where my eyebrows goes up. In just 3 months earlier this year, okay, May to August, they spent 15 million repairing around 15,000 potholes. 15 million. Now that means 1,000 per pothole on average. Okay, it just. I'm just looking at this. Very interesting. So 15 million repairing around 15,000. Okay. So around 15,000 potholes. And that is 1,000 per pothole on average. And then, interestingly, from August to November, another 13 million for 8,100 potholes. Now, that's over 1,600 each. So, guys, the costs are rising for potholes. The costs for potholes are rising, you know? They're rising. From just in just 3 months or something like that, the cost of that has gone up already. So 1,600 per potholes. But earlier it was 1,000. And to make motorways, to make metaverse, the city has acknowledged that it is impossible. Okay? It is impossible to keep up with the speed of the damage. They acknowledge that it's very impossible to keep up with the speed of the damage. So they say the situation is rabid and ongoing, unquote. Quote unquote, rabid and ongoing. So with new potholes forming daily. So now the action plan does set out a roadmap. Okay. It does set out a roadmap though. So streets have been identified for repairs and there is a final, there's a financial allocation of 20 million for 2025-2026 to tackle now the problems. 20 million. Now, but come on, look at now 20 million. 20 million seems like a drop in the ocean when you consider now the full 2.7 billion. That's 2.7 billion backlog. Now, we need, at this point in time, we need 2.7 billion. And for 2025, 2026, it's only 20 million Namibian dollars seems like, only 20 million that we're going to, that is budgeted, you know, now to solve, that's budgeted now to solve the need of 2.7 billion backlog. So is this plan really enough to fix our crumbling road? Is it enough? So, and the more you don't repair this, the more it's going to get worse. You know, I used to go, I really been around. I visited a lot of African countries. And you look at that time, you know, 15, 10 years ago, or maybe 20 years ago, you go to some African countries and you look at their road and kind of like, wow, that's terrible. So it's coming. Slowly by slowly, we're getting there. Slowly by slowly, we're just getting there. We used to question, why don't they maintain this? You know, why, you know, and I realize we're getting there. Just think of any other things that was in Windhoek, in the cup, the beautiful things that were actually in the cities. You know, the park, the zoo park. How does it look like? How does it look like? It was a place where many of you, you know, go for hang around Saturday morning, stroll in the park, beautiful and green. You know, there were fishes in fish ponds around, you know. What happened? Eh? What happened? Oh, my goodness. So we're talking about roads, okay? Now, what does this mean for you actually? Okay, let's now, in terms of maybe when we talk about that, we think is this is something that is far from us. The reasons why we talk about it is because it has public implications. It has public implications. Let's take a moment and think about how all this actually affects you, the everyday Namibian. You, that you need to vote. That's why I keep reminding you, I'm bringing you this now, in a context that you need to go and vote to change that. How does this now, this road thing, this crumbling road affect you? Now, if you drive, or you walk, or even use public transport in Windhoek, you have probably had your fare. You have your fair share of close calls with potholes, definitely. Eh? So whether now you are in the bus, or you probably have that close fare. You have that fair share of getting close to, you know, have experience that with potholes. Now, so what, of course, I said how the implication, what does this mean for you? So damage vehicles, it could damage the vehicles. It also, longer travel times, because you spend much time actually going slowly. You know, you could be actually late to work. Longer travel times, and even road accidents can happen also, are very real risk as well. If there are so many hot potholes, and there are so many, you know. So I'm actually shocked reading all that number of potholes in Windhoek. So in fact, many drivers have had to pay for costly repairs, you know, just from the hitting potholes. You know, they do. So the impact is also felt in the economy as well. Okay? It's also felt in the economy. Poor infrastructure lead to higher costs for business, delays in deliveries, and can even deter investment. It does. When, if investors look at Windhoek and see a road in disrepair, they see road in disrepair, it could influence their decision on whether or not actually to set up shop here. So they want to set up a shop somewhere in Katutura and then see, whoa, all these potholes? No way, okay? So it could even deter, you know, investment. So, and of course, there is also a social cost. You know, roads are vital for what? For connecting people. So if roads are constantly being repaired or are in poor conditions, well, it affects the movement of people as well, especially those in low-income areas, because they don't get repaired quickly as well. That's another issue. So what need to happen then? All right, what does need to happen? Now, as we look at solutions, one of the solutions is that go and vote. So. But it's important to note that the road maintenance needs a long-term strategy. Remember, I talked about that. We more follow the reaction approach. We wait until, you know, things get severe, damaged, so that we, you know, that's when we start to fix it. So, and we need a long-term strategy, and this is not only for Windhoek, it's also what we see in our towns. Throwing money at potholes may help in the short terms, but it doesn't address the root causes. As we have said, have talked about some of the drainage systems, you know, and all that. So we need to have that long term strategy. So proper planning, you know, we need some proper planning. We need regular maintenance. And sometimes there are new towns, you know, there are some new areas. If you look at new area, you know, Shakati or, you know, Godiva, especially, you know, Shakati, you know, they get actually flooded. So, and I'm not talking the housing, the road, you know, and so when there's no proper planning and regular maintenance, so, and also investing in drainage system, investing in drainage system. So, and also the road quality from the start, that from the start we, you know, we invest in the road quality. And these are the key to a more sustainable solution, I think. Okay. These are more, the key to a more sustainable solution. All right. Let me get to you. Even I still have a few things to say. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Thank you, and for the opportunity.
All right, you're welcome. Go ahead.
Yes. I don't know where to really start.
Yeah.
But if you were to start with the road infrastructure, and the logistic transportation and all those things that tend to road maintenance. So I hope you know very well that Namibia is topping in Africa in terms of road infrastructure, the best road anyway. So I hope that you are aware of that. And in the world, our ranking, if it has not changed, it was standing at 23 or 24%. In fact, beating many of those developed so-called countries, Europe's economy. I hope that one you know. So Andreas, I think 3 weeks ago, came in when you were talking about the road, potholes and all these things, especially in town. And he was concerned about those cargoes, those long ones.
Yeah.
And that, yes, his advice was, when you concentrate on the potholes, come in. In the city, I'm coming. In the city, it's fine, it's good. We need to repair those ones. If, including those who were not even here, pretty independent. You know, the Katutura, the Komazdar, and all those things, they were all dust. I hope that one is clear to you. You have, might have known that. So now to maintain this road, whether they were built with poor qualities or whatever, but they were not in existence anyway. So the one that were in existence.
So are you now telling the city of Windhoek? You know, because they, this is the, we're looking at the report that they themselves actually produce. They are talking. Yes. They are the one who is like, we're just relating it to you. So are you? What are you telling them?
I'm telling you.
No. It's not me. Why would you tell me? I'm just reporting.
I'm not a student to compliment.
No, you don't need to tell me. You need to talk to the public. Are you telling now the city of Windhoek?
Yourself.
Now, why me?
Why not you?
So you're here to contribute, not to tell me, to contribute to the topic.
Are you not the part of the those who benefit from the contribution that I'm making?
So that's why I said what I'm trying to direct you, Uncle Bwana, is to say, this is the town, this is the Windhoek, the municipality, the city of Windhoek report that we're talking to. Yeah. Now, in the way you're directing it, you're kind of directing it to me as if I'm the one who actually saying this. Just relating the information of the report to the public.
That's good. All I'm saying is that the story required or the report, even when you look at the recommendation there or the proportion that they are made there, is to call us to make sure that the maintenance of the road, the potholes and all those things are done by us. Are you getting me?
What point I'm making to the public in terms of the municipality needing 2.7 billion to maintain the condition of the road and the potholes that they experienced?
So, is it only municipality who should be there to mobilize for the financial resources or human resources to maintain those roads? Are you not part of it? Are you not part of it?
So, are you... what I'm trying to ask is that I don't understand why specifically asking me. Ask the public. The platform...
I'm part of the public, my friend.
Yeah, the platform is to talk to the public, not specifically to...
including yourself, who might not have understood.
No,
there
is nothing that I misunderstood. I'm presenting what the report says.
Yes, that's why we are saying it's a complementary effort from the public, from the civil society, even the community that you represent, whether it's the media or whatever, they are all called to action to make sure that those potholes are, those road potholes are mundane.
Are you following the story, Mr. Uncle Bwana? Because I'm not too sure what the point you are making, seriously.
You seem not to understand that, like I mentioned in my preamble, that Katutura, maybe you have known about Katutura, even the Ongodiva, where you were residing, where the roads there.
So what you need to say then, tell them, you must then say, no, the municipality, they shouldn't talk about the maintenance of potholes. They should also mention that there were no road before this time. So
those
maybe
roads
that's
were
what's...
not there. Those roads were not there and they were constructed. They have to be continuously maintained. Just like the ones in New Ongodiva. They were not there. They were constructed. But they still have to be mundane. Who is going to do that? Is it not you or the people within your community who should do that? You yourself included.
Okay.
Why are you not part of the public-private partnership or complementary role that you play, whether it's to motivate people in terms of psychological...
Uncle Bwana, you know why I'm laughing? You know, the reason why I'm laughing is just that you're focusing on me, and I don't know why.
No, I am not focusing on you.
Yeah.
If I have to focus on you, it's going to be another story.
All right.
So what I'm saying is that all of us, they put stores in window because they were not there, and we are going to maintain them. Like you are asking, your question is that... why are we in this mess? The mess that you are talking about must be cleared or rectified by our own masses, yourself included, in the media, to disseminate information that you're able to motivate or stir up the conviction of the people to get into the maintenance of the roads. Are you not part of it?
Yes, I am, Uncle Buana.
Yeah. If you are part of it, let's compliment each other and make sure that we help the city of Windhoek. I even heard that they even team up with the Standard Bank, who have got the money to build houses, to do all these things. Are we not to motivate ourselves and get those access and build some new road, whatever you want to be done into your Ongwediva community?
Yes, yes, Uncle Bona.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Please let's listen to the argument. Let's look to the report. We then have a meaningful, engagement. Okay. All right, that would be very important as well, just to know what is the discussion is all about. Okay, so sometimes it's not just about a matter of let me just talk for the sake of talk. We want really to make a contribution, meaningful contribution, that would be really helpful to the community, and that's why we bring in stories like this and analyze them in the way that give you a better understanding. All right. And that's why we push you to go and vote to make changes. Yeah. Yeah. So now when looking at the National Development Plan, six, NDP six, the government has recognized the importance of infrastructure. But this needs to trickle down now to local communities like Windhoek. So more funding needs to be allocated for road repairs. The question remains, is the government and the city of Windhoek willing to take bold step and invest in a long-term solutions? So because much of that is more reactionary, as we said, as we have looked at. Now, so here's where we are. Windhoek need over 2.7 billion to catch up on the road maintenance. 2.7 billion. So, and over 883 kilometer of roads, many already passed their design life. Let's get to the caller. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right.
It's like I'm always listening to the uncle. And I think he fails to simplify or to clearly push his point. But I think what he wanted to say is just that the public should assist the municipalities. Maybe that's what he wanted to say.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure, but it becomes stressful.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, that's my only point.
Yeah, no. That's what I'm asking. What are you saying to the public? That's what I was asking. What are you saying to the public now?
Yeah, maybe the public should work together with the cities in contributions or donations, and then they fix up the roads. That's maybe what you are saying. So that's my only point.
Yeah. No. It might not have come out clear in that way. So, but yeah. No, but he made point. I mean, it's not that he hasn't made point. I just was saying that sometimes let's direct our discussion towards the topic itself rather than generally just, that we'll make more contribution to the topic, rather than just,
Everyone. Yeah, okay, yeah. Thank you.
No, thank you for coming through, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm. All right. So we're talking about that Windhoek needs over 2.7 billion to catch up on the road maintenance, over 883 kilometers of roads. Many already passed actually their design life. Everything has a lifespan. So potholes are multiplying faster than we can fill them, actually. So that's the issue, that they So, and as we said, look, you know, let's do this before, let's fast track before the rain comes. But there are already potholes that hasn't been filled from the previous rain seasons. And now, so we see that they are multiplying faster than we can fill them. So, and the emergency procurement is plugging that gap, but at higher cost as well, because it has become some kind of like a routine. And without better planning and preventive work, you know, preventive work, we will be having this same conversation again and again, and with an even bigger price tag, you know, in few years to come. So, yeah. All right. So you can have your contribution. You can come through as well. 0833-66-091. 0833-66-091.
Omutiha wutekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana nongeshifa ya ishiwite moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro ni randito mwa yue yongeshifa yoyo kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngwe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa letu. Moambo dengira selma konara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano o liyaj. Eagle FM.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, welcome back. And if you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day on the election day. So, and we're talking actually a very important topic of maintenance backlog of over 2.7 billion is in Windhoek, and it's a huge problem. And the action plan in place is just a starting point, you know. So there are serious challenges ahead, and it's not only for Windhoek, you know. And they have issues from procurement delays to funding shortages. And maybe that's also then what Uncle Bwana is saying, that, well, let's then support. Let's support the municipalities by contributing to our own maintenance of our road. But what is clear is that the state of our road affect every single one of us in a way. So, and we all have a role to play. Definitely, we all have a role to play. And I think that's also the point he's making, where it's pushing for better infrastructure policies for those who are in a lawmaking, who are the lawmakers, or holding officials accountable, those who are responsible for our maintenance and also the provision of those services, and simply reporting. Sometimes it's simply just maybe reporting potholes where we see them. Yeah. So every one of us have a role to play. What do you think? Namibia, what do you think? And it's, this is not only in Windhoek. This is everywhere, you know, around towns in our country. So what do you think? 0833-66-091. So do come through and have your opinion. Maybe you live in Windhoek. You experience this every day. So this is the report. It's a report from municipality itself, from the city of Windhoek itself. So what do you think? What's your take? 0833-66-091. So if nobody comes through on this, we go to our second story of the day.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend.
All right, welcome back. We were just looking at the 2.7 billion, you know, Namibian dollar needed for the road maintenance of Windhoek City. We looked at quite a number of things or factors that contributed to the deterioration of the road. And this is coming from the report, and it's also a story in today's edition of The Villagers. Make sure that you take you are subscribed to The Villager and be able to read some of this the stories that really affect your life and your environment. So now let's get to another story that equally important, and it's also covered in today's edition as well of The Villager. And this story also could have actually it's could have a wider reaching effect on our economy, on our workers, and even in the way our government handles business deals. So we're talking about the new directive from the Ministry of Labor Relations that could shake up public procurement process across the country. Now, if you are just tuning in, here is what is happening. So the government has announced that that any public tender, as I said, this is a story actually in today's edition of The Villager by Matthias Hangala. So the government has just announced that any public tender, any contract awarded by a government ministry or agency that involves hiring workers must comply with the national minimum wage, national minimum wage law, which now set wage at 18 Namibian dollar per hour. So that is the wage, that's a wage floor for workers starting from January 2025. Now, but here's the main takeaway of this is that any bidder or company that does not follow these wage guidelines will be disqualified from winning government contracts or face termination if they are already under contract. So this is a big deal. It's a big deal because the government is saying it will enforce this rule uniformly across all public entities, leaving no room for shopping around for contracts where the rules might be a little bit more lenient. Nope, that's not going to happen. It will enforce this rule uniformly, okay, across all the public entities. Now, the Ministry of Labor, Labor Relations, is tasked with confirming that every bidder complies with the national minimum wage before contracts are awarded. So this is seen as an effort now to protect workers from exploitation and raise, of course, the living standard of the living standard across the Namibia, across Namibia. So that's the whole kind of overarching goal. So what is the real story behind this announcement? So what is the real story behind this announcement? And is this a victory for workers or a potential headache? Maybe for business. So when we come back, we look at we get that into the stories. So stay tuned.
Omutiha kutekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana nongeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nilanditoma yoe yongeshifa yoyo kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengera selma, kodara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, owa miyaji. Eagle FM, go high.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, come, welcome back. So welcome back, and So now let's get into the story. And my question was, so what is the real story now behind this announcement? And is this a victory for workers, or a potential headache for business as well? So let's get into that. Now, the national minimum wage, the national minimum wage law is now officially in effect in Namibia. Though there are gradual phase-in process depending on the sector. So for the sector, the wage, for most sectors, the wage floor is set at 18 Namibian dollar per hour, started in 2025. However, if we talk about agricultural workers, domestic workers, and those in security services, we'll see a phased implementation, meaning they have more time until 2027, you know, to adjust the wage floor. So now the goal here is clear. So the goal here is very clear, is to ensure that people in Namibia are earning a decent wage, you know? So they are earning a decent wage. In theory though, that sounds like a step forward. So it's really a step forward. After all, decent wages aren't just about numbers on our paychecks. They are about improving people's quality of life. So these new directives, now this new directive is not just about employers paying workers, okay? It's about building the whole idea is really about building a more just economy, you know, a just economy, if that makes sense. So, but of course, as with any policy, there are layers to this, okay? There are layers to this. And let's talk about the implications. So because when the government flexes its economic muscles, you know, there are winners and sometimes there are losers, okay? So now first, let's look at the positive, okay? Let's look at the positive side of things. Now, workers are the primary beneficiary of this law. All right? That's very clear. They are the primary beneficiary of this law. Now, for years, we have seen stories about workers in Namibia, especially in low-income kind of jobs, struggling to make ends meet. So introduction of the Namibia minimum wage has improved, you know, some has improved or would provide, actually has provided some relief. It's setting a guaranteed wage floor that employees cannot, you know, dip below. So, and this could help alleviate the pressure on families who have been grappling with rising costs, for example, especially in cities like, you know, where we're talking about Windhoek. I mean, everywhere in the country anyway. So, yeah, in a way that could really honestly alleviate the pressure on family who really have been suffering, who are really suffering or grappling with the a rising cost in different parts of the country where the cost of living has really skyrocketed, especially in recent years. So what more this is a step toward now improving the general living standard. So the reason why this has been introduced is to improve the general living standard of the people. Higher wages mean more disposable income in your that you can now be able to maybe can, you know, which in turn can fuel local economies. So people now can spend more, invest more, and help drive demand for local goods and services because they have money. So in theory, it's a win-win situation. Okay, workers are earning more, and business get to tap into bigger and more prosperous market. So, yeah. Plus the government's focus on the public procurement means that taxpayers' money is actually being used in a way that aligns with social justice. You know, as I said, this is about economic justice, social justice. So when government contracts go to business that pay fair wages, you know, as I said, in principle, on a paper, that pay fair wages, that create a ripple effect. It create a ripple effect. It set a standard for maybe even for private companies, encouraging them to follow suit. Now, but let's get a little bit deeper. Okay, let's get a bit deeper. Who or we have to ask? Okay. What are the potential challenges and maybe the downsides, okay, of these directives? Now, first of all, let's look at business, okay? Let's look at business, especially small business now, okay? Many small and medium-sized enterprises, the SMEs, are already really operating on a razor thin margin, you know? They're really operating on a thin margin. For some, this minimum wages could be really, really a hard pill to swallow. You understand? So while larger corporation might absorb this, they can absorb this cost more easily, you know? So bigger corporation can absorb this, you know, this cost more easily. Smaller business might struggle to keep it up. They really struggle to keep up. Now, they could face financial pressure, particularly if they are unable to pass on the increased labor costs because of the, you know, if they really unable to pass on the increased labor cost to customers through higher prices. Sometimes you can't just add costs. You can't just pass that cost to your consumers. It becomes the price of whatever your business could be too higher. So when you are not able to do that, it becomes really, a big problem. And then there is a reality that some business may decide it's simply too costly to compete for government tenders then. So if they are already struggling with rising costs and this wage law could push them out of the running for public contract. Because if you don't, then, I mean, if you're not applying, if you're not compliant with this, it's automatically actually, you know, push you out of the push you out of the running for public contracts. Because there's no way, you just can't be able to comply. So, and that would mean fewer opportunity for local business to thrive. And who wins? Bigger corporation. And who are these bigger corporation? Most of them are South African owned companies or foreign owned companies. So you see how that would end up then benefiting more foreign owned companies because it would be easier for them to comply. So now let's look at the implementation. Let's look at implementation now. Okay. Now it sounds great. And I mean, it sounds great in theory for when you think about theoretically, it actually sounds great. No more exploitation of workers, more money in their pocket. But how will it work in practice now? In terms of now, the Ministry of Labor Relations is responsible for monitoring compliance. So, and the onus now is on businesses to prove they are meeting the minimum wage requirement before contracts are awarded. So, will the government be able to effectively enforce this? I mean, we have an experience. You know, we're coming from where we understand that enforcement of regulations and policies. So now, will the government be able to effectively enforce this, especially with sectors like, let's say, for example, agriculture? So where many workers are in rural or in informal setting, you understand? So, there are things that need to be looked at. Maybe that are not clear. Maybe one have to find out more. And what happened to workers who are already being paid below the minimum wage? So if a company can't afford to pay the new wage, for example, will they just stop hiring or even let go of existing employees to cut costs? Now, that's now what has happened. That's now people actually lost. They were, okay, at least I was able, from what I'm getting now, I was able to feed my family. So, but if you let go, because then you want to cut costs, maybe you want to cut costs and be able now to get into compliance with the law, then on the other hand, you actually have people then losing jobs. So, and because you have some company who cannot afford to pay the new wage. So, as I said, on a paper, it sounds good. But when it comes to implication, there are lots of nuances that one actually have to factor in. And of course, all of this actually bring us to the broader question. What does this mean now for you, for Namibian overall economic strategy? Okay. Now, we're kind of like, what is our overall economic strategy? So the government's economic development plans are clear. They want to create a more inclusive economy. That's very clear. They want to create a more inclusive economy. This minimum wage law could be seen as part of that vision, ensuring that workers, particularly those in vulnerable sectors, are not left behind as the country develops. Inclusive economy. Now, the focus on public procurement aligns with this strategy. So, as I said, it's aligned with this strategy, leveraging government spending to promote fair labor practice and social equity. That's why the directives. So the whole idea is to, you know, leveraging government spending to promote that fair labor practice and social equity. So now, at the same time, Namibia is still actually balancing a number of challenges. We're still actually balancing a number of challenges. We are a country that relies on a mix of industry, for example, you know, agriculture, mining, service, tourism. And while wages are important, they must also be balanced against broader economic goals such as job creation. So as I said, you know, when you're pushing that, there might also you push now certain companies that might not be able to afford to do that. And then what happened? So we're looking at the broader economic goals, which also include job creation, investment, business growth. You also have to think about business growth. So that balancing, you know, we really have to balance a number of challenges. And for business, the key question will be, can they remain competitive while adhering to this new wage standard? Can they remain competitive? Or they will, you know, end up maybe cutting costs and letting go some of the employees, and that become a problem when it comes to other broader economic goal like job creation. And for the workers, how soon will they start feeling the impact of these higher wages? Not higher in terms of higher, but this, you know, this setting now. So the shift won't happen overnight, given all this issue. It won't happen overnight, but I think it's a step in the right direction. Definitely it's a step in the right direction. So we're going to come back after this commercial quickly.
Imbaya rire ombwa nai epetla weda ko ombuni kiro ombe ombi hukusha onjiviro yoye irire ombupu o hakane na wina ikare no matha ko murungu wa indu wali rongere kusha omune ondengu okura ko imba una ovyu nevya peke ko gondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe umwe sto kwika ovinki no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yukia nja oshimariva o peresente dano komieve vitatu moshimariva o peresente umurongo komieve hambu umwe moshimariva o peresente umirongo ivari na dano media murongwa na ivari moshimarifu itororera ondengu chima yungura na wakove na wina wanyanukife ashiesho imba yekupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro imba o maoronga neno owe uhaka enina itako na wina rishangitha jinon.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, our time is about 31 minutes past the hour of 9. And I will be with you until the hour of 10, when I will be handing over to Tate France, coming up with Kutha Mosha from 10 o'clock. And we will keep you updating, and appropriately I will give you some update a little bit, give you some times. I will give you some update from our colleagues as well that are on the ground as they come in. Now, so just to wrap up, maybe what we were talking about, there may be key takeaways from the story that we're looking at now. Now, the government has set a new national minimum wage, a minimum wage law at 18 Namibian dollar per hour, with phased implementation for certain sectors like agriculture and security services. So, and that was done already from start of this year. Now, the public procurement contract will now require bidders to comply with this wage law or face actually disqualifications. So that would be the law. So you have to comply with the wage law or otherwise face disqualification. Now, While this law aims to raise the standard of living for workers and reduce exploitation, and one understands that it could place also financial strain. It could also place a financial strain on businesses, particularly the SMEs. So now the real test will be in the implementation, ensuring that workers across all sectors, especially the rural areas, actually benefit from these changes. So, and as always, we want to hear from you, our listeners. So what do you think? What do you think? Will this new law be, as people say nowadays, a game changer for Namibian workers? Or could it stifle, it might be stifle, also business growth and job creations? So what do you think? So have your say. We want to hear your thoughts. 0833-66091. 0833-66091. So, will this new law be a game changer for Namibian workers? Or could it also, you also look at the other side, could it stifle business growth and job creation as we have looked at that? So please do come through. 0833-66. We want to hear your thought. 0833-66091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Mr. Mike.
Good morning.
I'm just trying to understand this from a general standpoint.
Yeah.
For let's say you have like a small business with 30 employees, and then they were paying them below minimum, and now the law comes. So for me, I understand it as to say you maybe have to get rid of the 30, of half of the 30, and then you start paying the other half
the
minimum wage or more than that.
Yeah.
And then their wage has to increase because they have to compensate for the loss of the other 15.
They have to now they work to work harder. They have to work on behalf of those you have actually let them go, to those who have to go, let off.
A more meaningful salary, but more work has to come with it.
But the problem might be that letting the other 15 go would actually reduce your production, for example. No matter how much you pay this one more, this a little bit more, they may not be able actually to produce as much as the 30 people would have. So your business goes down. That's on the business side, it may not be profitable.
Those are one of the disadvantages of every law, I think, because if you now increase those 15 salaries and then you also demand them to work more, then your hope is to reach maybe previous production capacity, or maybe to just do something in between that. I'm not really sure, but it's one of the disadvantages.
Yeah, that's where now the problem is to say, should, when I ask that, the implementation of this, it's a little bit difficult because you could also stifle business, you know, in terms of business growth, also in terms of job creation. Because now, from the broader, when you're looking from the broader economic growth, you're talking about job employment, job creation. But the law that you have created also making people losing their job wouldn't be lenient enough to say, look, okay, these people still have a job, and even if he's not getting the amount that the minimum wage is, he still actually be able to feed the family and all that. We have a leeway in terms of this situation. There's so many things that hasn't been, you know, because people would think, I would say, if I have a job, now I'm losing a job because my employer won't be able to increase my salary, then I would prefer to stay on my salary, you know, than actually losing a job because, you know. So I think there are too many nuances that need to be, you know, still looked at. Mm.
Yeah, I think both arguments from both parties are valid in some way.
Yeah.
So it is then upon the government to get innovative and deploy resources to maybe make sure that some businesses that cannot afford it can work on the old way, and maybe those who can really afford it, as their documents say, like as in profit,
yeah,
maybe can start paying their employees very well. But I think that would take a lot of money from the government, because it would take more effort to make sure it actually happens, because you have to monitor.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
the idea is good, because you're looking at social equity. The idea is very good. But the problem is, let's say, for example, bigger companies, and mostly bigger companies are South African-owned companies, you know.
Mr. Mike, I think my minutes are up.
All right. No, thanks. Yeah. Thanks for coming through. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, the point he's making is quite relevant, you know. Is to say, look, the other thing is also that the chances of actually closing that gap, I mean, closing the chances of Namibian company to actually qualify for government contract, it's become minimal. It becomes small if you strictly have to adhere to comply to this law. Bigger companies that are, most of them are South African owned, you know, can be able to do that, can be able to adjust this. And now they would have, they would be open, they would have a chances actually for government contracts rather than small companies in Namibia, you know. So who have to compete now with these big companies from South Africa? Most of them from South Africa. All right. 08333-66091. 08333-66091. What is your take? Okay. What is your take? I'm happy if you're not here because you are at the at the polling stations. Okay. No, I'm happy that you're there. You know, if you're not participating, because you are in the line, you know. So I'm very happy for that, okay? So if that's where you are, then I'm really happy. But if you're just sleeping, you know, and well, as long as you make time to go and vote, still you're right. So let's get to some of my colleagues that are on the ground that have some interview with people that are now at the polling stations. Let's listen to, I think, an interview by my colleague HD in Windhoek.
Okay, we are joined by Erastus, a resident of the Windhoek East constituency, voting here at the MTC polling station. Erastus, how was the voting process this morning?
It was quite efficient, very quick, easy. No funny business. Yeah.
And tell the people why you came out to vote today, and if you have anything to say to the others that haven't voted yet.
At the end of the day, if what you're not changing is what you're choosing. What you're not changing is what you're choosing. So if you want change, you must play a part in change, you know. Many people say these things of, yeah, but my two votes or one vote won't make a difference. But now imagine your one vote mixed with someone else's vote and another person's vote, another person's vote. It adds up at the end of the day. You know, you mustn't think I'm just one person, so it's one vote. No. Because if you think like that, 10 other people who think like that, that's 10 votes gone. And then 50 think like that, 50 votes gone, you know? So if you change the mindset, that one vote turns into 10 votes, 10 into 50, 50 into 100. So it's all about the group mindset, you know? Yeah. 100%. Thank you.
All right. And that was HT interviewing one of those who made it up to the polling stations. So, and have a good point there. So, if you don't vote, no change that you actually want to come. So, as I said earlier on, this is we're voting for service delivery, okay? For the development on in our community. That's what we're voting for today. Okay. So, and I think this is also goes with education. And I think this is also what Bishop Katenda yesterday mentioned. I think they need education I'm not saying we shouldn't worry about the national elections. The presidential and national assemblies elections. We shouldn't worry about those ones, but we should worry more about, the regional, we should worry more about regional and local authority elections, because that's the most important. That's the most important election for you, really. Seriously. That's the most important. I think we need the voters' education and really people to understand that this is the election for you. You know, the election, first of all, it determines your representatives in your regional councils, in your local authorities. So the kind of leaders that you really that have direct impact to you, you hardly go to the president. You hardly go to some of these, you know, that people are sitting, the lawmakers that are in the assembly, but you go to your counselor. You understand? You go to your counselor. So it directly, you know, it's election that determine your representative in your local, in your regional council, in your local authorities, people who make decisions that are affecting your community's needs. You understand? So there should be a really, really education in terms of that we should show up in numbers, because this has to do with us now. It has to do with our community where we are from. Okay. So, and I think that's really, 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 really needed. I highly believe that this is the most important, and this is not just talking. This is the most important elections for the ordinary you, the ordinary Namibian, the grassroots. This is the most important one. Forget about the president. Forget about the parliament. You know, how many, those are just, you know, people who can make laws. Anyone, we can put anyone there. But in our communities, we want people who are competent enough, people who we want and who can make a difference in our lives. You understand? So, this, as I said, these are things, this is election that are affecting your, the needs in your community, the housing, infrastructure, the electricity, the water supply, the, you know, everything. Eh? Any other social services that you need. It is this. Is these elections. And if you're sitting at home and thinking, as the other person said, you know, you might say that one vote won't make a difference. That attitude is the same attitude with the other one, and the same attitude with the other one, and the same, and that would make about 100 people, or make about, you know, 1,000 people. So that would have impact definitely on what is happening. So yeah, go out there. Go out there, make a difference. This is your civic duty, one at your democratic right. So go and make a difference. The difference that you want, the changes that you want, it's only you that you can effect that. Okay? So only you that can effect that. All right. We have about 14 regions and 121 constituency. So go out there, each constituency, electing one councillor through what is known first past the post system. You know, first past first the system. A local authority, yesterday is what I heard yesterday, and local authority elections which determine the composition. Normally it's determined the composition of the village, either a village or a town, and that uses a proportional representation based on the political parties, you know, party vote. So that's depend on that. So yeah, these local councils then influences the election of mayors among councillors. So yeah, so it's you know, it's this kind of a system, you know, regional council and regional election, regional and local authority. It's a system to ensure both direct representation and also proportional political influence in the local governance. Okay? So, yeah, make sure that you take part. Make sure that you participate. You vote. Not even, you know, go and vote. 081-08-333-6-01. Talk to me.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikawa shafaa sana nana nonge shifaa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongotisa mwene. Anange shifaa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro ni randitoma yoe, yonge shifaa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yo mo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, kodara hita tuimu. Datu, heari hamano tano, oni haji. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. And if you're just joining us, you are tuned in Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. And thank you for joining us. So we have about 9 minutes before we say bye-bye to the show, before we say bye-bye to Unpacking the Day and get into another show with depth of discussion as well. So yeah, before you're welcome, please, there are two stories that we covered so far, and we were just looking at now the minimum wage, the national minimum wage law at $18 per hour, and in some sectors this with phased implementation for certain sectors like agriculture and security. So now the public procurement contract will now require bidders to comply with this wage law, or you face disqualifications. So, and we were looking at the implications of that. Now, the implication is that while this law will definitely raise the standard of living for some workers, and reduce also exploitations, that's whole idea, it could also place a financial strain on businesses, and particularly we're talking about the SME. So, and as we said, the real test will be now in the implementation. So making sure that, yeah, all workers across all sectors are benefiting from these changes. So, all right. So if you would like to add to that and have your comment, have your opinion on that, you're most welcome to do that. And our telephone number is 083-366-091. Or we can also, the other story that we have, which we won't be able to finish, maybe we can just, you know, touch on it, is our government's overdraft with the Bank of Namibia, widening actually significantly. And probably we need to understand why is this the case? And what does it mean, you know, really for, because that's the whole idea. What does it mean for us? All right. So, and why is happening? What behind this shift? And maybe more importantly, what does this all mean, you know, to you? Now let's look at the situation. Just at a distance. Now, let me give you an imagination, so you to understand this when we're talking about the government overdraft. Now, imagine you have a big loan. Okay, I want to give you the situation where the government find themselves. Imagine you have a big loan from a bank overseas. Okay, now you have been saving up in a special account. Let's call it a sinking fund. Okay, now, so you have been saving up in this special saving account, the sinking fund, to pay it off. Over the years now, you have been saving. Now, the day comes, you make the final payment. You feel great, debt-free. Okay, not entirely, but debt-free. Okay, for debt-free or foreign debt. But then you look in your everyday wallet and realize it's looking a bit thin. It's looking a bit empty. There isn't much in it. Now this is now you need to pay now for your groceries, your fuel, your, you know, the bills. You now have to dig deep into your overdraft facility at your local bank. Okay. Let's get to the caller to probably help us come to the end of the show. Very good morning. Good morning.
Yes. Ugan FM.
Yes.
Good afternoon. Good morning, your boss.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Are you at the polling station?
I'm already finished.
You're finished?
I finished already.
Okay. Tell us how did it go? How did the voting go?
Like me, I'm side of Johnny Pandeni constituency, like this side.
Yeah.
I went to the area around 6 o'clock there.
Yeah.
But something, it's like I was not happy. If we went there, they said the polling station, they opened up around 7, then end up 7:30 to 8 o'clock. They end up 7, machine is not working. That is, if you see it, no one even tells the machine, I don't know, they tell us, no, come on. Some of the machine is not working. From there, I move from there, then I come to this side of Emmanuel Church, is where I cast my vote.
Mm-hmm. So at Emmanuel Church, the machine was working, yeah?
Yeah, it was working, yes.
Oh, okay. So you mean they didn't start it at the time they said they would start? So, and that was due to the machine?
Especially here at the Shikena, this side, what to call this place, there's a small point, but not inside the spinner, but this is our opposite. It's where they tell us that no, the machine is not working. My question was, how tell us that the machine is not working. Where is, there's no one even go there. I really don't know. Mm. And my question was, like, why? I know why people, when we are voting, we have to have a pencil.
You have to have a pencil?
Yeah, to when you are crossing or whatever, you are marking with your whatever you want to vote, then you have to use a pencil.
Mm. Possibly, that would be also, that's also for your advantage as well. Let's say, for example, you made a mistake and you want to change, you
but
can
there's
always...
No rubber. There's no rubber there.
There's no rubber.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's actually a good question. That's question.
No, I understand. I hear that the whole word they are using that.
Yeah.
But to be honestly, why are we using sensors?
Yeah.
Pencil, what was it? Then we're about that to most use a ink pen. Then, like, whether it's a mistake, once a day, pencil, then, like, I don't know. But, the thingy.
Yeah.
Like that, they make a lot of station where people voting. There are a lot, like, this side of mine, I like it.
Yeah.
But these people, they had to pick up. They're supposed to make those things. Last night, when, like, you had to vote, like, 7 o'clock, people, they start moving.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. So, why do you think, why do you needed to vote? Why do you yourself decided you're going to vote?
Voting is something very, 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 very important worldwide.
Yeah.
If I'm honest.
Mm.
But I see many people, I need to, like, maybe... Oh, let me call some friend of mine. This one say, no, I will not vote. What? I will. Then the problem with these people, oh, let me say Namibia, or most of the people, they don't understand what democracy.
Yeah.
Sorry to mention that. Yeah.
No, it's all right.
Yeah, swap of a government is like, what? Now, how can we not make a change?
Mm.
A change is when you vote, because that's all right.
Yeah.
To understand.
Mm.
But to find most of the majority, but what I like, I see so many youth.
Okay. Mm.
Youth, they are turning up, understand, or to see that they hate to vote. But most of the people, like in the location here, they are no voting. Why now? End of the day, you said, no, swap or what? What is swap? Then you make a change from your vote, because that's your right, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's good to know. Okay, so what message do you have to other people who might be still sitting at home, who may not decided yet?
Namibian people, to vote, I think that's all right. It's when you make change.
Mm.
And there's no one going to force you to say you must vote for RPM or PDM or IR or SWAP or whatever. Vote so you can, that every... That vote is count most, isn't it?
Yeah, does.
Go vote, stand up, go vote, leave that beer, leave that coffee or whatever or pizza that you are eating, go vote.
Yeah, you're even given a public holiday to go and do that.
Yeah, we must just go vote.
Mm.
What else I want is this, officer, like, police, they must leave us alone at least as who. Who already, if they come and somebody, maybe at a Shabin or it's a bar,
yeah.
This time, didn't vote, they must maybe, don't know, they must arrest them. But that mark that we voted, they must leave us alone because we already done our duty.
Yeah. So they must come around the bars looking who doesn't have the ink. Yeah.
they say we must close or they must close. Yeah. The one who owns the bar, but, if they find somebody already vote, they must leave that person alone because it's public holiday.
Yeah.
We have a job like those one from the Chinese that was from Friday or from Monday to Sunday.
Yeah.
Then it's a public holiday. They must leave people to feed themselves.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming through, yeah?
That was Nekwaya.
All right. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Nekwaya, and thank you for Mr. Nekwaya coming through and, to give us an update of what is going on. And we continue to do that as we go through other programs, over the course of the day. So coming up is Kuthamosha and that it's coming with that France. And during the course of all the programs, we may have update of how the elections are going throughout the day. So make sure that you stay tuned to get updated on what is going there, what is going on the ground. Let me leave you now in those capable hands of Okamati Koka Pofi. Let me say my goodbye until tomorrow. So for me, I am going to vote. So do the same thing, do the right things. I'm Michael Chiavelli. Goodbye.